everyone to the Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation's Our Blue Bahamas podcast here on Guardian Radio, where we talk about promoting the conservation of the Bahamian marine environment that sustains our way of life. Today we're talking about student development on the professional path in science and conservation. And our special guest is Nicola Fernander from Brief, who's going to talk a little bit about herself and the importance of student development in conservation and eco-schools, the eco-schools program at Brief. I'm also here with our executive director, Katharina McKinney-Lambert, and Jasmine Colley, our education outreach officer. Thank you so much for being here today. Nicola, could you tell us a little bit about why you have this passion for environmental conservation?
Okay, well, my name is, again, Nicola Fernander. I am the acting education coordinator at Brief, as well as the acting operations officer, and as well as the national operator for Eco Schools here in the Bahamas. So the program is fairly new to me, but now we're getting a lot of persons, a lot of schools that are registering. The program is the largest sustainable schools program in the world, with over 59,000 registered schools. To date, there are 15 green flag Eco Schools throughout the Bahamas. We recently had a new school registered, Hillcrest, congratulations. And we're looking forward to having new schools registering this year. And we're excited about the new program, and we're excited about new schools getting on board.
Okay. So, Nicola, and also to Katharina, have you noticed more students interested in science and conservation when you go to schools and do these presentations and you talk with teachers? Have you seen?
Absolutely. I think it's a great program to introduce young people to the environment, to some of the issues that we're facing. And this is a program that is operating in public and private schools across the archipelago, and that going all the way from kindergarten up to university level. So it's a very broad range of young people. And as Nicola mentioned, it also is being run throughout the world. Mm-hmm. So there are, I think it's close to 20 million children who are attending an eco school around the world, and really makes these young children in the Bahamas part of a broader community where they feel connected with students around the world who are dealing with similar challenges of energy, waste, water, mm-hmm. biodiversity, climate change, all sorts of different topics that are important to their survival, our survival, our collective survival on this planet.
Mm-hmm. And so, Nicola, what is the importance of, you know, having a school registered as an eco school?
Okay, as the Eco Schools program is an internationally recognized program, we are encouraging schools to participate, get their communities involved in making sure that they make a difference as it relates to the environment. And we know that the program is led by students. So we encourage the teachers and faculty to really play a part in supporting the students. We have eco clubs being set up at schools already. And we want to encourage teachers. Teachers, I know that you're busy, but we want to encourage you to assist students in being a part of this very, very, very important program. I want to say that we have several Green Flag schools already. Green Flag is the top award. So we are encouraging schools to try and get that award. We have an annual teachers workshop that we put on for teachers, our coordinators that already have eco schools established, so that they're equipped to take their schools to the next level as it relates to environment and conservation and making sure that we have a better Blue Bahamas.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I just, one of the things that came out of your comment is that you said it's student-led, And I think this is somewhat unusual in the Bahamas. We are used to having situations where teachers are leading and older people are leading. And one of the standout components of this program is that it really is student-led. And this can be a little uncomfortable sometimes for students to stand up and say, hey, I have this idea. Let's look at this. Let's think about planting native plants in our schoolyard. Let's think about waste. Let's try to reduce our climate impacts. But really, these issues that the students are addressing, they're going to be the ones seeing the consequences down the road, more so than older people. Particularly in climate change, we're seeing youth leaders really change the direction that the world is going when it comes to climate issues. And this is coming from schools, this is coming from young people in the Bahamas and around the world who recognize that this is an existential threat and are stepping up and taking a leadership role. And what we're seeing is that these young people who are the eco club presidents in their school, they're on their eco committee, are getting great experience becoming leaders. It's relevant for the environment, but it's also relevant for whatever career path they end up on.
And in that same breath, I want to highlight our most recent Green Flag school, Hillcrest Academy, that you mentioned earlier. And in their eco club, they actually had a proposed petroleum plant that was going to be built in their neighborhood near the school, and the community was not so happy about that. So there were a lot of complaints. The school's eco club got involved and they said, no way, not near us. They organized themselves along with the teacher's support. The president of the eco club wrote a letter and presented it to town planning, and they successfully were able to ensure that the petroleum plant was not built near the school. And so that's a success story, and it's also an example of the power of youth voices and the power of eco schools and the eco schools program as well. So that story came to mind, and they shortly after that they received their green flag because they, like Katharina mentioned, they are growing gardens in their school. They are looking toward getting solar panels eventually in their schools. They have a great recycling and cleanup program. They have poster boards all around their schools about recycling waste, and so they're doing a lot of things that is sustainable in their schools. They have signs on top of light switches that say, turn off, to remind them to turn off the light whenever nobody's in the classroom. So on lunch, everyone's outside, the lights are off, right? And they take turns gardening. They have chickens. They're going to soon have a whole farm, I think, because they're so excited. And the students are doing a lot of the work, but the teachers are 100% really, really, really supportive and pushing the students as they do this incredible environmental work in their school. So we also, and we're talking a lot about the Green Flag. Nicola, Katharina, I welcome you to talk a little bit more about the significance of the Green Flag Award and what that means for schools.
Well, the Green Flag Award is the top level eco school award that recognizes schools that have achieved an international standard of excellence in environmental education and practices. This, again, is an internationally recognized award given after an assessment by our local Bahamian assessors. So at first, you would probably register your school, and then you would get either the silver or bronze award. And your ultimate goal is to get that Green Flag Award. And that distinctly shows how professional and how dedicated you are in making sure that we sustain and conserve our Bahamas. So we always encourage our schools. I just want to send a shout out to our very first Green Flag school, our Deep Creek Middle School. We are so proud of you. As we highlight Hillcrest, who is the most recent, but we want to not forget Deep Creek. And we have schools that are on board as well from the Family Islands. Other than Eleuthera, we have Abaco, we have Eleuthera. We're hoping the Cat Island signs on very soon, as well as Andros. And shout out as well to Forest Heights. I don't want to start to call names because I know I may get in trouble. But shout out to all of our eco schools who are doing really well and who have taken the baton in trying to make sure that we preserve our Bahamas.
Great. Jasmine, so eco schools, outreach, education, all of these things go hand in hand. In which way is outreach really, really highlighting I guess supporting as well eco schools and the eco schools program?
What I do like about eco schools is they are, all of the eco schools are very, very responsive. They're very on top of things when it comes to environmental issues. Like, for example, we were like, you know, coastal cleanup day was coming up, and you know, we were giving our brief cleanup guide in reference to help them planning a beach cleanup, but plenty of the schools would have already been on it. They have already done coastal cleanups like probably the week before. So they're already forming organizations within themselves, and I do think that's, you know, part of the process of getting the green flag, that you have to like form this committee. It isn't just like a siloed event. That is something they're continuously doing, and they have to go through an auditing process yearly, and they continue to actually audit themselves to make sure that they're reaching the goals that they plan within their own schools. So they're actively doing this throughout the year and getting their communities involved. Mm-hmm. So it's really good when outreach will continue to be a resource for them to so they can reach out and support in any way. But and then also too, we do offer our presentations and our field trips, and a lot of eco schools do take advantage of that opportunity. It is available to all the schools in the Bahamas whenever you want. You can go online, you can book a field trip or a presentation with us, but like I said, our eco schools really take advantage of that. And, you know, having that foundation of environmental knowledge really kind of, you can see that it's driving more environmental change in their communities.
And I just want to piggyback off of what Jasmine said as she mentioned community. The Eco Schools program is not just for the school. It spills over into the community. So we really, really encourage the team building as it relates to not only the students, but it's the students, it's the teachers, it's the parents, it's the community, it's the businesses in the community. It spills over. So I just want to stress that it's a team effort.
And in the schools, we know that we talked about the green flag, and you know how it's, you know, world renowned, right? Like it's recognized globally as the top award that you can get in environmental education. But speak to the program. Could you speak about the program itself and how that benefits schools, like being a part of the program and taking it on? Like, in which way does that benefit the school itself?
Well, not only from an environmental aspect, but it builds student leadership skills. It builds school camaraderie as well, school unity. It also assists, we have educational information that assist in the curriculum that schools have already in place. And that is where I would, again, mention the teachers' workshop, where we equip teachers, coordinators, with information that they can use in their classrooms. So it's not only just for the environmental part of it, but it is to educate students and teachers and the whole school body as it relates to marine conservation, the environment, biodiversity, and those sorts of things.
And I'll also jump in and say it often saves schools money, not just in the Bahamas, but all over the world. Simple things like switching to energy efficient light bulbs, energy efficient AC units, having the switch for an AC unit accessible so that schools are able to turn their AC units off at night when nobody's there. All of these things are saving schools money and some of the students are actually documenting that. So they're getting access to the electricity bill and seeing, you know, how much each school is paying for electricity when they haven't yet implemented any of their action items, and then seeing how that's changed after they've implemented better light bulbs, timers on switches, timers on AC units, and it's remarkable. And these are lessons that, well, first of all, these are things that schools can use funding for other useful activities and equipment that students need. But they're also lessons that students can take home to their families. So we have a demonstration kit that we have a meter, and it shows how much electricity an incandescent bulb uses, how much a compact fluorescent bulb uses, and how much an LED bulb uses to emit the same amount of light. And students can then do calculations to see if you switch from this bulb to that bulb, you can save this much per year in your electricity bill. So it's more than just environmental and social, you know, team building and leadership skills, but it really comes down to saving money as well.
And in the Eco Schools program, are children required to do like projects or like activities that are outlined in the curriculum, or does Eco School have like a book or something that the students have to follow?
Absolutely. I'd like to mention here the 7 steps to achieve the Green Flag Award. So firstly, you would form your committee. And the committee is comprised of the students and supervised by a faculty member or a teacher, or it can actually be a parent. And so after you've formed your committee, you identify areas of improvement that you would like to address as a school, as an eco club. After that, you would link your set goals and objectives to your school's curriculum and subject areas. And execution time. Make an action plan that is specific and achievable. I know that we want to think big, but it's okay to start small, just to get the little things done first. And then after that, decide on how you will monitor and evaluate your club and your committee. Inform and involve. Keep your school informed. Keep your school involved, keep your community informed, keep your community involved. Because we don't want this is not a just the Eco Club type of program. This is to spill over into the community so that you make a greater impact. And then decide on your Eco Code. This is somewhat of a short statement that summarizes your Eco Club values and demonstrates your club's international, internalized, sustainable culture. So it is a statement that expresses the school's commitment to improving its immediate environment and community. So it's something short that says, this is what we're all about. This is our somewhat mission. Yes, that's the Eco Code. So those are the 7 steps. I mean, it sounds like a lot initially, but as a club, student-led and assisted by parents, please. Our teachers are very, very busy, so if you can get on board and help, please do so. We are willing at Brief to help you get the Eco Club started and support you in any way that we can.
Awesome. So is there anything else that students should know when they're planning on? Can students actually initiate these, or is it only for teachers who go to like the Eco Schools workshops? Initiate the Eco Schools program.
Okay, so what I would suggest is contact Brief. Contact us and let us know that you're interested in establishing an Eco Club at your school, and then we go from there. So you would have to identify a lead person. The most important thing, we know that students have to be supervised, so we need to identify a key adult person. Like I said, that can be a teacher or a parent or a secretary at the school to assist these kids in making sure that they meet the goals and the action plan, the objectives that they have set for their particular club.
Okay. And so we spoke about the Eco Schools Teachers Workshops that are annual workshops. What benefits do they have for the teachers? What do teachers take home from those Eco Schools workshop, or take back to school, basically?
Well, the Eco Schools Coordinators Workshop is held annually, and it is to equip our Eco School teachers, coordinators, with the tools and knowledge and support that they need, not only to make sure that their programs and Eco Clubs are successful, but also to achieve first level bronze or silver awards and ultimately achieve the Green Flag Award. It is also a teacher training program aimed to equip educators with knowledge, skills, and resources effectively deliver instruction as it relates to curriculum topics related to the marine environment. So it will assist not only, and I want to say this, it's not only for biology teachers or science teachers, it's for our math teachers, it's for our English teachers as well, because when we touch on marine conservation and careers relative to marine conservation, it's not only science-based. You can have careers relative to marine and the environment without having to be able to really study biology so much or focus so much on biology and sciences.
And I'll jump in there and say some of our most dynamic Eco Clubs were actually founded by an art teacher or social studies teacher. Wow. Because there's other ways of looking at these issues. Issues mm-hmm. to do with the environment are not just for people who are into science. This is stuff that is affecting every single one of us. And I've seen some amazing presentations by Eco Clubs that instead of doing a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation report, they did a song. Mm-hmm. And it wowed everybody at the conference. So
children like music so much. They love music. They love art. So it makes so much sense that the art teacher was able to really reel the kids in, because that's what they're looking for a lot of the times. But Jasmine, I see you looking at me. I know that you know I'm coming to you, right? Because we're all in education now. We're in education territory now. So,
oh my goodness. So big shout out to Will Simmons, who's now at the Harbor Island Green School and doing great things in highlighting art and creativity. Mm-hmm. And the reality is these solutions that kids are coming up with need to be creative. We're not going to solve the problems of today using the same mindset that we had when we created these very same problems. So we've got to get creative. We've got to think outside the box. Mm-hmm. And we've got to tap into resources that we have from all over. And one of the things that I'm very proud of for the Eco Schools program is how these schools, with support from the administrators of their schools, with support from the teacher leaders, and with support from BRIEF, have been able to tap into funding from fantastic entities like the Global Environment Facility Small Grants Program. A lot of these schools have said, hey, we want to reduce our electricity consumption. We've already changed out all the light bulbs in the school. Now we'd like to get some solar panels, and have applied for grants and successfully received funding to be able to put solar panels on their school roof, do water collection, all sorts of things that have come from grants from the Global Environment Facility Small Grants Program.
Amazing things happening through Eco Schools and inspired young people across the Bahamas. Jasmine, I want you to talk more about the educational value of these Eco Schools programs and equipping these teachers with the knowledge to share with these students about the importance of the environment. Especially as a social studies teacher that's not directly, conventionally environmental, right? How do you, from that angle, reach students to say the environment is important, or a history teacher or a math teacher? How is that done?
What I like about education is it's so much ways to do it. Like you said, art is an avenue. That's one of the ways we actually teach a lot of the environmental education here at BRIEF. You know, sometimes we do have the traditional PowerPoint presentation, but then, you know, we may have an activity. Like recently for one of the summer schools we had, where the kids would create a superhero for climate change. And we had the ways that the kids came and the ideas that they came up with was just so inspiring. And you can tell that they actually got the knowledge based on their superhero powers and stuff like that. So it doesn't have to be just formally just, you know, a presentation. And then also is other ways you can integrate lessons in, like writing a letter or debates or, you know, just getting up and acting out a marine ecosystem. That's, I don't want to share too much because we have a lot of new activities coming up for our field trips, but it's going to be a lot of ways we're going to integrate different activities into learning. And also, it's not going to be a lot of sitting at a desk and writing, but it's gonna be fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're winding down. Winding down on the show. I want to ask one more question, Nicola. How can schools again and schools and people who are interested in eco schools get involved and connect to start up their eco schools programs?
Like I said, the first thing we'll do to contact Brief. We're available. You can find us online. Or contact the office at 327-9000. You can speak directly with me if you would like, just to get some more information as it relates to eco schools. And again, once you contact us, we are willing to support you. We are willing to come in. Like, I am very much so planning to visit some of the eco clubs to find out what's going on, to get updates, to network. We have some good stuff coming up where we want to do events that we network, we communicate and get clubs to communicate with each other. So good stuff coming up. Just contact us and we're ready, available, willing to get you started.
Okay, excellent. Now we'll go into closing remarks. We'll start with Kasserina.
I would just say get involved with hands-on activities, getting into the water, getting your head under the water, seeing these ecosystems that we're talking about underpin so much of our work. And what we found is that schools that have signed on to the Eco Schools program, those are the kids and the teachers who are especially involved in our field studies programs and doing this hands-on experiential learning that really brings the environment to life.
Okay, Jasmine.
What I would like to say about the Eco Schools program is a lot of the skills are so transferable. You know, you can carry it home, audit in your home, you know, participating in a garden, all of these, and, you know, actually coming up with a vision, a mission statement, and all of, and forming committees. These are very transferable skills that we're making a next generation of very responsible, eco-conscious leaders. And I think the Bahamas is going to reap a lot of benefits from that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nicola, you have any?
Just to piggyback off of what Jasmine said, it's not only for the schools, but it's for the community as well. And so when I encourage teachers to assist in the program, it's not just for the schools, it's not just for the students, but it's really for them as well as us. It's for all of us. Like I said, for a better Blue Bahamas. It's for all of us.
Well, beautifully spoken. Thank you again so much, everybody, for coming in. To learn more about Brief and all the work that Brief does, visit the Brief website at BREEF.org and follow Brief on social media at BREEF242. This has been the Our Blue Bahamas podcast, and we'll see you next week. Thank you so much.
Programs and doing this hands-on experiential learning that really brings the environment to life.
Okay, Jasmine.
What I would like to say about the Eco Schools program is a lot of the skills are so transferable. You know, you can carry it home, audit in your home, you know, participating in a garden, all of these, and, you know, actually coming up with a vision, a mission statement, and forming committees. These are very transferable skills that we're making a next generation of very responsible, eco-conscious leaders. And I think the Bahamas is going to reap a lot of benefits from that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nicola, you have any?
Just to piggyback off of what Jasmine said, it's not only for the schools, but it's for the community as well. And so when I encourage teachers to assist in the program, it's not just for the schools, it's not just for the students, but it's really for them as well as us. It's for all of us. Like I said, for a better blue Bahamas. It's for all of us. Mm,
well, beautifully spoken. Thank you again so much, everybody, for coming in. To learn more about BREEF and all the work that BREEF does, visit the BREEF website at BREEF.org and follow BREEF on social media at BREEF242. This has been the Our Blue Bahamas podcast, and we'll see you next week. Thank you so much.